This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Denver billionaire Phil Anschutz owns some 100 arenas, stadiums, and clubs on five continents through his Anschutz Entertainment Group. Anschutz is also part owner of the Los Angeles Lakers and other sports teams, but not necessarily for long. AEG is up for sale. Contributing editor to Rolling Stone, Steve Knopper, is with us to talk about what a sale could mean for the concert business. Steve, thank you so much for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
One of AEG's biggest, and I think it's fair to say scrappiest, businesses is its entertainment division, AEG Live. It is second only in size to Live Nation in the concert business. And you write that it's a very tough business because it's got low margins.
Right. That's correct. Basically, the artists these days in the modern concert industry, especially a big name artist like the Rolling Stones or Madonna, gets the lion's share of all the ticket money. And so that leaves the promoter to make up its own margin on stuff like those service charges that we hate and overpriced beer and popcorn and parking. And so you can get really lucky in the concert business and you can make a ton of money, especially with a big act, but more likely you're struggling to get by on most of the stuff that you do. And so it tends to be an industry for gamblers and cowboys. And that's why you have successful people in the business like our own here in Denver, Barry Fay, who, you know, was the famous local concert promoter who booked U2 at Red Rocks and The Who in the 60s and all these great bands for years and years.
Well, AEG Live in particular has succeeded, you write, by using some pretty aggressive tactics. What are those?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, AEG's people, you know, particularly their CEO, a guy named Randy Phillips, who's been in the music business, the concert business forever. Live Nation is the world's largest concert promoter, and they get most of the acts. They own or control almost all the amphitheaters, the outdoor amphitheaters in the U.S. And so, you know, it's natural for them to get most of the big tours. But because AEG is owned by Phil Anschutz, the Denver billionaire, they have very deep pockets. And what they do is they kind of cherry pick the stuff that they think is going to do well. And so they'll pick off like a Bon Jovi or a Taylor Swift or even a Justin Bieber. And they'll do very, very well with just a handful or a small number of big tours and then kind of supplement that with individual shows all around the country. And so what they'll do is they'll kind of just be smart about what they buy. They're also smart about how they bid against their competition. So they'll recognize that Live Nation needs a number. They have to sustain their amphitheaters by getting a lot of shows and keeping their calendar full all throughout the summer. And so AEG will say, yeah, we'll put in a bid on that. And then Live Nation has to outbid them. And then therefore the artist cost goes higher and higher and Live Nation has to pay more. And then AEG backs out of the deal and kind of rubs their hands together and says, you know, that was a good thing we did.
Is it this low margin that you talked to us about, this idea that you really only make money off of ticket fees and, you know, beer sales? Is that why Phil Anschutz would be interested in selling AEG now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. You know, nobody knows. Phil Anschutz doesn't talk to me and he doesn't talk to the press in general. So nobody really knows the answer to that.
He hasn't talked to the press in decades.
Right. That's right. He's what you would call a reclusive billionaire. That's what we call him in the press because he never talks to us. Why he's selling, I don't know. But some of the sources in the concert business that I talk to, who are good people who have been around a while, are making that speculation. You know, you're a billionaire and you're really, really good at making money. Does it really make sense to be in the concert business, which today is very risky, very low margin, rather than going into some other, you know, private equity or, you know, some other business that seems to have more of a future if you really look at the charts and the graphs and the tea leaves over the next few years?
And we should point out, of course, that AEG is bigger than the concert business. As we mentioned in the introduction, it also owns a number of sports teams. And Anschutz has stipulated that he'll only sell AEG to someone who's willing to keep the company together. But that could be tough, I mean, since the sale price could easily be upwards of $6 billion.
Right, $6 to $8 billion are the numbers that I've seen in the press. What that does is it limits the potential buyers. I don't cover sports, so I'm not as versed in what's going on with the LA Lakers and the NFL team that Mr. Anschutz and AEG have been wanting to bring to LA for the last few years.
Right.
But I think that's part of the reason that the stipulation is that the company wants to keep AEG intact. they've made certain promises to officials in Los Angeles that they're going to attempt to bring an NFL team to L.A.
Is $6 to $8 billion too big a bite for Live Nation? I mean, the natural question is, would the largest concert promoter absorb the second largest?
Right. Just based on sources I've talked to and reports that I've read, yes, I think it is too much. If it were just Live Nation, you know, with the idea of buying AEG for $7 billion or something, I do think that that's too much. They would probably have to combine with some other outside bidder or make a group of bidders. And then the problem with Live Nation making a potential bid is that we're talking about the number one concert promoter buying the number two concert promoter, and then you start to have antitrust issues. Certainly when Live Nation merged with Ticketmaster, which is the top ticket seller in the country, there were issues about antitrust and monopolies. And now if you're talking about absorbing the main competition for Live Nation, I think that would be something that the Justice Department would pay very close attention to.
Finally, I just want to step back a little bit. You write in your piece in Rolling Stone that there are not up-and-coming artists that are as big as the Madonnas and the Rolling Stones, who, you know, were guaranteed to fill concert spaces, amphitheaters and such. You know, this is partly the struggle of concert promoters to make money. Why isn't there the next, I don't know, Madonna?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's something that, that concert promoters are struggling with, I think. You know, 25 years ago, when I was in high school and college, the big artists played stadiums. You know, they played Mile High Stadium, and they played Folsom Field in Boulder, and that's where I went to see all the shows. It wouldn't be uncommon to find the top 5, 6, 7 artists, from the Stones to Van Halen, playing these giant venues all around the country. But lately, only a few artists play only a few stadium dates. So what's happened, I mean, one very broad thing is that the culture has just become very fragmented. You know, there's no Beatles like there was in the 60s that everyone likes. You know, everything is kind of carved off into genres and subgenres. Another big problem is that because of music piracy, and because there's been a big shift in the record business from people buying expensive CDs to people buying 99-cent songs on iTunes or even stealing the music for free, suddenly you're not having these record labels that are acting as talent scouts and discovering and developing the new Bruce Springsteens of the world. So you're not having this kind of minor league system that basically creates the next Madonna. There's a lot of great music out there. There's perhaps more great music than there ever has been, but there are fewer and fewer Adele's and Lady Gaga's and Justin Timberlake's of the world. Even Justin Timberlake is now a movie star, who will be the future fillers of the stadiums. And so that's something that concert promoters are paying attention to. The business is changing. It is possible that amphitheaters might not be the places that we go to see concerts in the future. And so, you know, promoters are looking at that and they're saying to themselves, maybe, you know, the long-term future of this business, if I'm a billionaire, you know, is not something that I want to be in.
Well, thank you so much, Steve, for being with us.
Sure, absolutely. I enjoyed it.
Steve Knopper is a contributing editor at Rolling Stone. He lives in Denver. There's a link to his story about AEG at our website, cpr.org. Knopper is also the author of Appetite for Self-Destruction, a book about the crash of the record industry in the digital age.